going to read a passage of Scripture, and we're going to pray. But before we do so, I just want to comment, and I know a lot of you all are aware of what happened in South Carolina, and that we need to be praying for those, for that church, and for those who lost loved ones. And I want you to understand that what's going on, when we read the news and we see things like that happen, and the hatred that is in someone's heart that would commit that type of crime, is deeper. It's deeper than just what it looks like on the outside. There is a deep-rooted evil that is in our world that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we are in a spiritual battle. And so when someone can kill someone just because of the color of their skin, that is demonic. That has an undertoning of demonic activity. That if we're not realizing this, that whenever we're out and around every day, there is a spiritual battle that's raging. And that's why it's important that we go to the Word of God for everything that we believe in and that we live out, and that we are geared up, that we're prayed up, and that we're powered up. And so, dads, moms, it's important that you are on your game every single day, and your faith is alive and active, and you are living out your faith, because we live in a fallen, messed up world. And so just be aware of what's going on. And we pray for healing for that church, for that community, for that family. And we pray that God's power would break the hardest of hearts that are in our world today. Amen. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. And we are going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is going to wrap up our series on Porch Lights of Faith. About parenting and about family. We'll read Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and they shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it reveals to us. And we pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, and a will to obey your truth today, God. Help us, all of us who are fathers today, hear what you have to say to us, God. Lord, the mothers that are in the house today, may you speak to their hearts, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, the brothers, the sisters, Lord, all of us. May we realize how important the family is, and that we are to be porch lights of faith to our family, to our friends, to our community, to our neighbors. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated as we look at this message this morning. We're going to look at how we can keep the porch light on. Now, growing up as a kid, there was always a commercial that came on. It was Motel 6, and they made a promise. They're going to what? They're going to keep the light on. What they wanted you to know is that you could drive out there at any moment. If you needed a place to stay, we got you, right? And what we got to do as families, what we must do, our goal must be to keep the porch light of faith on for our children and our grandchildren, that it's not something that we just want to have on for our own personal family, but it needs to go on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Amen? And so that's the go. So how do we keep the porch light of faith on? The first way to keep the porch light of faith on is by principle, that by the very principle of God, the principle of His Word that we receive and that we receive His commandment, that we are receiving the very Word of God, that this is by His command that we are to follow. That it's also personal. It's something that has happened to us, that it's not just something that we believe in, it's with our whole heart, because He says that you shall love me with what? All your heart. This is a personal thing by the very principle of faith in Him, that we have a personal relationship with God. Mom, Dad, dads, listen to me. If you want to pass on and if you want to keep the porch light of faith on to your children and to your children's children, you must have a personal walk with God yourself. You have to know Him. You cannot pass on. You cannot give what you don't have. True? You cannot give what you don't have. If you have no money, when you die, your kids receive what? No money. That's what you had. You had no money. Okay? If you have no faith, if there is nothing, if you have nothing spiritually that you have invested in your children, they're not going to get that from you. You must personally have a walk with God that impacts your life. Moms, you must personally have an impact, have a personal relationship with God that is every day, that impacts the way that your sons and daughters see what it means to be a follower of Christ. Does that make sense? That you have to love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind. That they are getting what they hear about God, they're seeing it happen in their home. It says, teach them diligently to your children. When you think of the word diligent, that's a work word, isn't it? I mean, diligent, that takes work. It takes work to raise kids. Amen? I mean, if you're going to raise kids the way you should, you're going to be tired. As a mom and dad, you're going to be wore out. I mean, it's hard. Now, if you want to just be passive and not be a part of diligently teaching your kids, then you can throw them in front of a screen and you can get on your phone and you can just kind of set them in a room and you can provide them with stuff to entertain themselves with. But there's a difference between being engaged and then just being over there allowing them just to do their own thing. You see, when you're diligently teaching, you're going to be actively involved in their life, and we're going to see that here in just a moment. But the first step in keeping the porch light on from generation to generation is that you, mom, that you, dad, have a genuine faith relationship with Jesus Christ, that they are seeing their mom, their dad, walk out what it means to be a follower of Christ. Second point is that in order to keep the porch light of faith on from one generation to the next, is that we keep the porch light of faith on by pattern. And this goes by our actions of how we live our lives. Look at verse 3. It says, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to what? Do it. We are to live it. We are not just to bring them to church and feel like that's enough. Dads, you're not just holy one day of the week. You're not just supposed to love Jesus. Well, 1 hour out of the week. It's just not just a Sunday worship thing and say, you know, all right, kids, you know, Daddy loves Jesus, and then you go out and you go home and you cuss, you berate, you put down, and you beat. It's not right. We have ministers, people who call themselves preachers, who will declare the Word of God on a Sunday, and then they'll go home and beat their family. That's demonic. That's not of God. That's not right. You'll have deacons. You'll have people of high positions in churches who will claim that they love Jesus on a Sunday morning, and they'll go and do horrendous things throughout the week. They're watching you, Dad. They're watching you, Mom. They're watching you if you sing about how you love Jesus, if you really do love Jesus, by the way you live your life. How they're acting and what they do. The way that you behave, guess what, is going to be a pattern that you set up for the way that they behave. That phrase, often it's caught more than it's taught. Yeah, how many of y'all ever seen your kids? I mean, they've just been acting in such a way that, I mean, you just can't stand the way they act. Anybody? Anybody have some kids, man, they just act up and you're like, man, you just. And then you realize they're acting like you. Huh? I mean, does that happen? Like, I can't stand that way. Why are you acting like, whoops, acting like me? Because see, the way, dads, that you love your wife and the way that you treat your wife will be the way that your kids treat your wife. You disrespect your wife, your kids will disrespect their mom. Wives, you disrespect your husband and you constantly put him down and call him names, then your kids are going to grow up thinking that about their dad. So that the way that you live, the way you live out, it means everything because you're setting a pattern for what they're seeing. And so a dad gets home from work and he's all complaining something went wrong and he's blaming his boss, blaming some coworkers, and blaming everybody else about how it went down and how the reason why it didn't work was because this person. What's that dad setting up for his kids? Blame, excuse, not taking responsibility. That's what he's instilling in that son or that daughter. You have another situation. You got a mom. She's a single mom. She's raising three kids, and she's struggling, and she's having a hard time. And she's got a job, and it's getting tough at the workplace there. There might be a layoff. She may lose her job. It's not for certain. But the mom comes home, and she's got three kids, and she puts them around, and she says, here's the situation, kids. Mommy's job might be going away. We're going to have to pray about this. We're going to pray to God that he will take care of mommy, and that if this job doesn't work out, that he's going to open up another job for me to have. Now, what's she instilling in those kids? Prayer, faith, trust in God. You see, Mom, you see, Dad, the way that you handle situations matters. The way that you respond to things matters. The way that you react matters. The way that you live from day to day matters. You're setting up a pattern. And the way that they see, if they don't ever see you praying, if they never see you reading your Bible, if they never see you serving, we got one of the youngest people in our church, part of the building ministry, is 6 years old. Landon. Landon Barrier, he's on the building team. You don't ask him if he's just following around his dad. No, he's on the team. He's out here. He's got his little work belt on. And he's helping put insulation. He's doing all this. And he's seeing his father doing it. And he's seeing that serving God through his church is important. And so when they see you, Mom, studying your lesson for Sunday school, for children's church, when they see you serving at the cafe, when they see you serving and doing things and teaching Awana or just cleaning the church or working in the sound, singing, whatever it may be, they see you model that I'm supposed to use my gifts and talents for the glory of God. They see that, and you're setting a pattern for them. Okay? You shall teach them diligently as you go by. You shall invest your life. You shall set the pattern for them. And we need to do this through persistence. Look at verse 2 in chapter 6. It says, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command in you. And it says, all the days of your life. all the days of your life. We keep the porch light of faith on by persistence. That our faith is it's an everyday faith, an everyday faith until the day we die. Right? It's an everyday faith until the day we die. That we're always going to follow Jesus. We're always going to live our lives for Him. We're not going to take back and take a sabbatical from following Christ. Like, ooh, don't take those moments away. I can tell you story after story of parents that will tell me there was a season in their life when they backed away from God and they backed away from doing what they knew that they were to doing, and they regret every day of that. So parents, those of you, I'm going to ask you to stay engaged in your faith until the day you die. It's every day. Psalm 115 verses 1 through 5, it describes a guy, a person who lives a life of integrity. It says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? It says, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. A persistent, consistent, everyday life of following Christ. It's an ongoing thing. We also keep the porch light of faith on by participation. Being actively a part of their life, engaged in their life, in the good times and in the bad times, in the fun moments and the not so fun moments. How do we do that? We do that through instruction and teaching. It says there that in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. There used to be something in homes called a dinner table. Y'all remember that? When the family would sit down and eat together and talk together and fight together. If you had a sister. And what he's saying is that in your everyday moments, when you get up in the morning, and you get them ready for school, you're praying with him, you're talking to him, when you're eating breakfast together, when you're sitting at the dinner table, you know, here's what the dinner table looks like today. We may have people sitting and eating, but one of them's got a gadget in their hand. Another one's got an earphone, something plugged into their ear. And it's disengaged. And we're not really talking to one another. And so we need to have discussions over the dinner table. We need to ask them, how are things going? So how's school? How's your friends? What's going on? We need to be able to start having those discussions with our kids and enjoying those moments. And you can teach them being on the ball field with them. Playing, helping them develop those skills, the interests, the hobbies that they are involved in, that they love to do. That's good. That's good stuff. Be involved in that. Pass ball with them. Help coach them. Do all that things. And in the meantime, be using that as instruction and teaching about things of God. You realize you can teach the truths of Scripture. You can teach about your faith in all kinds of different ways. You can teach about faith if you're working on a car. You can go into an event. Everywhere, there's everyday moments. Now, my dad, growing up, he wasn't a theologian, and he didn't discuss a lot of Bible scripture with me, but he always was teaching me all the time, whether it would be we'd be in the car driving, and he would there would be a situation happen, or he'd make an observation, and he'd point it out to me and say, see, look, did you see that? Did you see how that happened? And then he would give me a little lesson on that. I think sometimes he made up stories too to scare me about, we lived around, railroad tracks and stuff. And he told me one day but I think this might have been a true story, but he'd tell me stories like this to put a little bit of fear in me. He's like, don't ever try to put a coin down on a railroad track. He said, I know a boy who did that and cut his hand off. Train ran over. I was like, That's all. I was like, okay, I'm never putting a coin on a railroad track. That's it. There's everyday moments, you know, when you're walking and playing and talking with your kids. Take advantage of those. Build that in, because as they get older, you want them to be able to talk to you, right? When they come up with some real issues and real problems, we want our teenagers to be able to talk to us. A lot of times teenagers aren't comfortable talking to their parents, right? We don't want to do that. I need to get better at this. I need to learn to do better at this. Caleb will come. He'll say something to me, and I'll be like, well, blah, 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 blah. And Michelle will be like, well, you didn't handle that right. And I'll be like, well, blah, 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 blah. And then she'll go and talk to him, and I'm like having to re-go back and do what I did, right? Because I want to be able to communicate. Dad, you need to be able our kids need to be able to have that freedom to talk to us. And as they get older and as they become teenagers, and man, their lives start getting just twisted and twirled. You know, they're just so bombarded with all kinds of different influences that they need to be able to come to you and ask you and say something to you that maybe you don't really want to hear. That day may come when they actually make a statement and you're like, what in the world, you know? And when they come to you and they take you off guard and they come to you with something, you know, you just simply need to go, that's an interesting statement. How did you come to that conclusion? What do you think the Word of God says about this? How do you think that it would honor God in this situation? And Bib, point them to Scripture. Always guide your kids to Scripture. Is that the way that you think that a wise person would handle this situation? What does wisdom look like? I'm trying to ground and pound into my kids wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Good choices have good consequences. Bad choices have bad consequences. And I say that to them over and over again, hopefully thinking that maybe that it'll stick with them. To always make sure that they're making good choices, wise choices, things that's going to bless them and others, not to hurt them. How's this going to affect other people around you? Those type of things that we're constantly engaged in, and that we're talking with them, and that we're engaged, we're participating in their life, so that when things happen, we're there. Dads, be present and be active in their life. Don't be the father that is present but absent. Because there's a difference. You can physically be around your kids, but not really be around your kids. You can be in the home, but not be in the home. You can be there, but be so disengaged from your kids that you don't know really what's going on in their life. You may know everything that's going on ESPN. You may not know who's winning the NASCAR race. You may know what's going on in the news and never know what's going on in the heart of your son or daughter, because you're disengaged. You're present, but you're absent. You know, you can go to their games and their activities and not really be there. You can go and watch them and be a part of what they're doing and not really be engaged in their life. Our family is a full participation where mom and dad, we're physically present, we're diligently teaching, and we're there with our kids instructing them. And it's hard work and it's tiring, but guess what? It's worth it. The families are being attacked today in America. Satan would love to destroy the families. Marriage is trying to be redefined. And Satan knows that if he can crumble the home, he can crumble the nation. And so dads, it's important. It's important that you instill this faith. Fifth, we keep the porch light of faith on by praise. In Mark chapter 1, verse 11, this is when Jesus came and he was baptized by John. And as he comes up out of the water, it says, and a voice came out of the heavens. And it says, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. You are my beloved son, you are well pleased. God the Father, the perfect Father, he acknowledges his son. He says, this is my boy. It's my boy. Dads, your sons need to hear that. Man, you're my boy. You're my son. You're my daughter. be proud of that. Acknowledge them. They need to be acknowledged. And he says, this is my son, my beloved son, the one I love. The Father in heaven says, I love him. I love you, son. You are my son and I love you. You know what? Your kids need to hear that you love them. They need to hear you express that. I love you. They need to feel that embrace that you love them. You are my son in whom I love. I love you. I love you. You're my daughter. I love you. In whom I'm well pleased. I'm proud of you. Every so often, your kids need to hear those words. I love you. I'm proud of you. You need to praise them. I'm not talking about empty praise. I'm not talking about praise, you know, for, you know, I'm talking about real significant praise that when you see something in them, when you see a character trait in them, when you see something in them that just is spot on, you point that out and you say, man, I am proud of you for the way that you treated your friend. I'm proud of the way that you shared that. I'm proud of the way that you encouraged your teammates. I'm proud of the way that you helped out that person. Just build them up. You know, nicknames and things can just, it can change the whole dynamic of a person, right? Just encouraging them. And I'll never forget Caleb when he was about 8 years old. He played on a football team in Lexington. And, man, they had 22 kids on the team. And it was like a semi-pro, you know, league. He had coaches that, like, were NFL coaches, you know. You know those kind of dads and those kind of coaches. I mean, this was, like, serious stuff, big time. I mean, we didn't lose a game. I think two teams maybe got one first down on us all year. Nobody scored on us. It was like insane. You know, there were these crazy coaches, oh, no, no, you know, and I think they practiced just as hard as a lot of high school teams. But anyway, Caleb, they would run them. I mean, for every fumble that they had in the game, they had to run so many laps. For every penalty, they had to run so many laps. I mean, so like they were like running a lot in some situations, everybody. And so Caleb, He's like his daddy. He's not blessed with a lot of speed, nor a lot of endurance and running. But he would go, and he would be running, and he'd be running, and they would be running around that field. And he'd be the last one coming. I'd be over there thinking, oh gosh, you know, Caleb, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. You know, you got that from me, you know, and he'd be the last one. And at the end of the year, they had a big pizza party, you know, celebration. The coaches had the certificate, and they had their names on there. And they had went through, and they came up with a nickname for each of the kids. And so when they presented Caleb's, they said, Caleb, you know, and they had him stand up. And they said, when we think of you, when we think of you, we just thought of the word no quit, because there's no quit in you. Man, you just kept on. Man, he just got so puffed up, you know, and proud about that, you know. And we still use that today. And every time, like when we're playing and stuff, I'll remind him of that. I say, Caleb, you're no quit, man. You're no quit. You might not be the fastest, but you no quit, man. Just keep on keeping on. You build those things in their life and you praise them. And I'm telling you, they need to hear that. They need to be encouraged. Lastly, we'll keep the porch light of faith on by prayer. Prayer is huge. Jesus prayed over children in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. It says this, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay hands on them. And what? Pray. And disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there. He prayed with them. He took time to pray with these children. Mom, Dad, you need to be praying with your kids and for your kids. My kids know that before we eat, we pray. We pray over our meals, and we pray at night. We'll say morning prayer, and we're praying with them. But man, we're praying over them, and I pray for them. There'll be times when, if they're asleep and before I leave the room, sometimes I'll just stop and I'll just kind of pray over them. pray protection over them. You see in Deuteronomy, it says, so that you may, so your days may be prolonged. I pray for health and safety and protection, because this world, is, you just never know what's going on. Every day is a different day. It's a different challenge. It's a battle. And so I pray God's blessing and God's protection and God's covering over them. And I want to always speak the word of life into them. Teach them how to pray. Let them pray. So you going to pray us out tonight? Have them pray. Steal in them the importance of what it means to talk to God and to build that. If we'll do those, man, we'll have a porch light of faith that continues from our children to our grandchildren to our great-grandchildren, and that will give us something significant to truly pass on. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, as we come this morning, and we come to at the time of invitation to just kind of respond to you, Lord. I don't know what you want to do this morning. I don't know if there's a dad here this morning that says, you know what, I don't know God. I know about God, but I don't know him. And so there might be a dad that would step up and say, you know what, I need to give my life to Jesus so that I can lead my life, my family, in the ways of Jesus. So if that's someone this morning, Lord, would you speak to that dad? There might be a mom here that's saying the same thing, that's saying, you know what, I can't be the godly mom I'm supposed to be because I don't know God. And I need to trust in him. Maybe some teenagers here that says, you know what, I can't follow Jesus because, you know, I don't have a relationship with him. So Lord, whatever the situation is this morning, would you do your work? Maybe some families just need to say, you know what, we just want to pray together, and we just use this time of invitation to pray as a family, as husband and wives, or whatever the situation may be. Fathers, let me encourage you. Please always speak life into your kids. Don't degrade, don't put down, don't speak harshly. Build them up with the words of life. Father, have your way in our hearts this morning. May we respond in the way that you would want us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's come, let's move.